This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
We are Unsportsmanlike here on ESPN Radio. Presented by Progressive Insurance, ESPN2, the ESPN app, SiriusXM 80, and all of our great ESPN stations across the country. You hear a little Jay-Z. It's birthday today. Happy birthday, Jay-Z. I'm sure he's watching. So, got to give him a shout-out. Ohio State.
We have another suspect in Slippergate.
Okay.
We have another suspect in Slippergate. One Nick DeLuca.
Oh.
Who does some of our sports center updates, that type of thing. He worked, you know who Nick is.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So I'm just saying, Nick DeLuca was in our studio.
When?
This weekend.
After Bart Scott?
After Bart Scott.
Bartholomew Scott, excuse me.
After Bartholomew Edward Scott. After Nick DeLuca was in here this weekend. So I'm not saying that he did it, but it's another suspect that we might have to take a closer look at.
Okay. Are we maybe tying Smalls to this in terms of where you're slipping? Well, I just went to Nick DeLuca's Twitter, and his first tweet is a retweet of you.
Oh, what tweet?
It was the interview we did with Jim Kelly last week during Giving Tuesday, which was a wonderful interview for the V Foundation. But it is interesting. Are you now a culprit? Did you put someone up to this? Why is he endorsing
Why
you?
Would I do that? Why would I do that? First of all, he's endorsing our fight with the V Foundation against cancer.
Oh, don't do that. That's not fair.
That's what he's endorsing.
You're going to put me up against cancer? That's not fair.
I'm just saying that's what he's endorsing, not maybe me specifically, but I do appreciate the retweet and sharing that wonderful interview and the great message from Jim Kelly. But why would I do that? Why would I put someone up to steal the house slippers, the worn house slippers of my teammate here?
I don't know.
That he wears every morning to make himself feel relaxed, comfortable, ready to go for the show.
You
why
are?
Would I put him at a different event?
Figured out that part of it.
Does that read like something that I would do?
I don't know. I haven't figured out that part of it. But
so
now
you
that
think
is,
I'm sus, is what you're saying.
That's what he's saying.
I think that there's
very accusatory coming from Evan Cohen.
First of all, how dare you? I would never do that to a teammate, ever.
Well, you didn't. You put somebody up to it?
Why would I do that?
I don't know. I'm trying to get to the bottom of that part of it. Why would Small?
Why would somebody? But that's the thing that doesn't make sense. Why would
slippers.
Somebody take my house shoes, my slippers? It doesn't make any sense. Like, you're not taking them to wear them yourself. That's like stealing somebody's toothbrush to brush your teeth. It doesn't make sense. You wouldn't do that.
It's the weirdest thing to snatch.
Yeah, it's the weird, like, I'm just saying. Like, now, maybe is it possible that somebody could have thrown them out? I guess. Like, if the janitorial staff cleaning the studios would throw them out, but they wouldn't do that. My slippers have been here for weeks now.
And they're in the corner.
They've been here for weeks.
They're not bothering anybody.
They're not bothering anybody. They're out the way. I just don't understand
it. The great guy who switches baseball hats based on who the Yankees are playing, he's not throwing out your slippers.
No. Maybe. Maybe.
It was a different hat every time the Yankees play someone.
He also knows that he is a Yankee fan.
Yeah, maybe.
I see you're trying to deflect into somebody else, Smalls.
I didn't do it.
We got to get to the bottom of this, though.
Yeah.
It's a problem.
I have a bigger issue with that than I do Florida State not in the college football playoff. I got to be honest. I do. I have no issue with Florida State not in the college football playoff. In fact, boy, this is going to bother people, but it's how I feel. In fact, I have a bigger issue with FSU not being 6 than I do FSU not being 4. Because if we're going to apply the logic of we're going to put the best possible teams in the college football playoff, and we are ultimately going to rank these teams based on being the best teams, there is no logic that Florida State with a third string quarterback is better than Georgia. There's just no logic, right? And Ohio State, I started this conversation before Slippergate talking about Ohio State. Their starting quarterback, Kyle McCord, is out, transfers. Okay, so before we knew that information, even with being critical of Kyle McCord, we had them over FSU. If you're ranking it based on that, to me, FSU's beef should be with the committee based on the fact that why did they rank them number 4 last week? Why does it feel like maybe possibly the way in which they're judging changes from week to week?
They were ranked where they were ranked because they were undefeated and they're in a Power 5 conference. Just because they had a significant injury does not mean that the results were not worthy of placing them where they were placed. We all said, don't let this, the committee has never taken anyone below 6 and put them in the playoff business, fool you.
Now they've done it twice.
Well, because we know that this is a business. We know that this is a television show. We know this is about entertainment. And unfortunately, the SEC brings more eyeballs. Nick Saban and Alabama and the way that they're playing brings more eyeballs. And I'm not saying that Alabama is undeserving. They're definitely one of the best 4 teams in the country. But if I was a Florida State fan or a member of that a university today, I would wake up and let me tell you, my cookies would be frosted. I would have something to say to the committee because I have done everything that you have asked of me and somehow we're not in. I would have a real problem with that.
No, and you should have a problem with it, but I think we need to stop short of the state legislature exploring options to, in terms of trying to get retribution against the College Football Playoff Committee for Florida State not getting in. I think the state legislature of Florida has other things to do with their time than to worry about Florida State being snubbed by the committee. But I digress. I guess my whole point is this. If Florida State feels like they have an argument to be in, then who are they taking out? Are they taking out Texas? Are they taking out Bama?
They think that if I would imagine if you were a Florida State person, you're saying Alabama has one loss. We do not.
Alabama won the SEC championship.
But they're going to say we won the SEC championship.
Okay, that's great. But the committee is telling you that the SEC is a better conference than the ACC. It's not even close. I mean, in the penultimate rankings of the CFPs, the committee had six SEC teams in the top 25. The next closest conference was four, and I believe it was the Big Ten. So I don't understand the argument that Florida State would have because you won the ACC championship, that puts you ahead of the SEC champion. And let's be clear about one thing. Of all of the teams that were in the final eight going into this past weekend, Florida State had the toughest strength of schedule. They had a tougher strength of schedule than Florida State, than Georgia, than Michigan, than anybody else. And they came out of the weekend with the single best win of anybody that's in the top 10 in the college football playoff. Check that. They came out with the single best win of anybody in all of college football this season because they beat the reigning defending national champs that were undefeated up until this point. Georgia had won 29 games in a row, and Alabama beat them. I don't understand the argument about, oh, well, Florida State's resume dictates that they should be in. No, it doesn't. Not over Alabama, not over Texas.
The two best wins of the college football season both involve Alabama. Alabama over Georgia and Texas over Alabama. Those are the two best wins. They're involved in both of them.
And that's the thing.
Michigan
Alabama's
over Ohio State is not one of the best wins of the season?
No,
come
I'm sorry.
On.
Look, Alabama with Jalen Milroe and Nick Saban. Okay, fine. You want to debate that?
Texas over Alabama is not better than
close.
Michigan.
So two of the top three.
Two of the top three. But here's what I'll say. There is no shame in Alabama losing to the team that finished third in the college football playoff ranking.
Early in the season.
Exactly. So, again, I guess I go back to this. Just because you're undefeated doesn't mean that you should punch your ticket to the college football playoff because it's clear to me that you are not one of the four best teams in all of college football right now. And I get it. It's not fair to Florida State. You shouldn't have the committee prognosticating what these teams will be. But that's the committee's job. Their job is to put context around the resumes and the records that these teams put together and try to project the four best teams in the country, the four best teams when it comes to creating a television product that's going to be entertaining, a product that's more entertaining than the national championship game last year when Georgia blew the doors off of TCU. Nobody wants a repeat of that. And what you do by putting Florida State in the Final Four is that you open the door with them, with their second-string quarterback and Tate Rodemaker potentially being back, mm-hmm. for them to get blasted by Michigan or for them to get blasted by Washington or Texas. That's what ends up happening. Nobody wants to see that.
If I was on the committee and you said to me, all right, we're starting the college football playoff rank or selection process, who's the first team that has to be in all of America? My first team would be Alabama. They have to be in. They won the SEC. They have one loss. It's to a great team in Texas. They have to be in. We're going to start there. Then I would get to Michigan and everybody else. That's how confident I am, in my opinion, that Alabama's in the right spot here. I'll go one step further. Let's just call it like we see it, and let's be honest about this. This is primetime television. You're asking for one of the teams to be in without their lead actor. No TV show is going to get picked up when you take the lead actor out. It's just not going to happen. Apply any TV show, any Breaking Bad doesn't get picked up without Bryan Cranston. It just doesn't. Florida State does not have their lead actor. Let's be real about that. And the 13 wins, I don't need the committee to tell me the ACC is not as good. Florida State told me. Florida State has threatened the ACC 100 different times. Hey, we're going to leave if things aren't better. We're going to get out of here. Florida State is the one that told me the ACC in comparison to the SEC is not that good. That's not to say the ACC is not good. It's not as good. It's the SEC. They are king, and they have earned that right to be king. We cannot argue against Alabama. I'm sorry. You want to argue against somebody else, feel free. You cannot argue against Alabama.
So then every other conference just has to understand that there's an SEC privilege and that they're starting behind any SEC team regardless of what they do. That an SEC team, even if they have one loss, is always going to get the nod before them?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, because we have the NFL playing on Saturdays. That's what we have.
Would you feel the same if it was an undefeated Wisconsin team that was a Big Ten champion and it's your 100% team?
100% I would feel that way.
Are you sure?
Yes. If you put on, would I be more passionate on their behalf? Of course. My school, I went there. But am I dumb enough to think an undefeated Wisconsin team would be better than a one-loss Alabama team? Hell no. It's Alabama. It's Milroe and it's Saban. And by the way, there's defenders that I probably can't even name half of them that are awesome. And they just beat Georgia. Yes, Smalls, you're right. It's the same thing with the NFL and the MVP. We just have to accept the quarterback's more important, right? It's going to always be a quarterback award. It's going to always be the SEC. It's why Texas and Oklahoma are going to the SEC. Because we know one loss there is better than undefeated somewhere else. It's why FSU would rather be in the SEC. They told us this. If we want to have this fight for FSU in, take anybody you want out. It can't be Alabama. It just can't be. No argument? We're good. 888-SAY-ESPN. 888-729-3776 is the telephone number to join the show. Coming up, Heather Dinich knows a lot about this and way more than we do, obviously. And she was a part of this reporting yesterday, and we will talk to her about the college football playoff coming up next on Sportsmanlike on ESPN Radio.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
We are Unsportsmanlike, presented by Progressive Insurance, ESPN Radio, ESPNU, along with Michelle Smallman, Chris Canty, Evan Cohen with you. Obviously, the huge story today, college football playoff, released yesterday. Heather Dinich has covered it all throughout the season. She does a phenomenal job covering college football, was there around the selection committee yesterday, and joins us now on Unsportsmanlike. Heather, let's start with this. Why is Florida State not in?
Because they're a completely different team without Jordan Travis, their injured starting quarterback. And as the selection committee was talking about this and going through it, they kept coming back to the fact and trying to answer the question, can Florida State win a national title and compete for a national title as one of the four best teams in the country without Jordan Travis? And at the end of the day, they didn't think they could, and it was also coupled with the fact that Alabama knocked off the committee's number one team and had a better strength of schedule overall.
So, Heather, is it fair to say that an SEC team, even with one loss, just because of the conference and the strength of schedule, is always going to get more of a precedent or be weighted differently than a team from another conference?
Not necessarily, and I understand that could certainly be the public perception, but having a sincere understanding of how the process works around the table, it's not as simple as saying that. And I promise you that as they go around and talk about these teams, no one is saying the word SEC. They're not saying, is the SEC going to get left out? They're not talking about, well, if we drop Georgia, the number one team will be left out for the first time. Those aren't the conversations that are happening in the room. I can tell you that there was a lot of anxiety about the magnitude of the decision and the possibility that they were going to leave out an undefeated Power Five conference. But they felt at the end of the day that they made the best decision in terms of picking the four best teams, because as you watch Florida State all of us, any of us who watch college football and watched Florida State struggle to get a first down in the first half, when you ask yourself, can this team win a national title? It's hard to answer that question yes when they're playing with their third string quarterback. But at the same time, it goes deeper than that, and it's a real conversation. They beat LSU. They beat Clemson. They beat a top 15 Louisville team. They did everything they had to. They didn't lose a game. They went 2-0 against the SEC. They continue to find ways to win, and all of those things were part of the conversation, and it was very difficult to leave them out. But nobody said, we're putting Alabama in because they're the SEC, and we're leaving Florida State out because they're the ACC. They thought if Florida State played Alabama or Michigan or Washington, they probably wouldn't win that game.
Heather, that being said, we know Florida State in the past has made overtures about leaving the ACC and potentially joining the SEC. Does this result push Florida State more and more in that direction?
Well, even if it does push them more in that direction, they have to have some place to go, and that hasn't changed. There have not been any offers or invitations from the SEC or the Big Ten. So as loud as Florida State's president has been, especially this summer, about wanting to leave the ACC, and that's not a new story, and this can certainly add fuel to that fire, you can't go anywhere unless somebody's asking you to come join them. That's the reality of this situation. And the exit fee and all of the financial and legal ramifications that would come along with that, they are very real. And nothing has changed in that regard.
We're talking to Heather Dinich, senior writer, ESPN, of course, covers college football, along with Michelle Smallman, Chris Canty, Evan Cohen with you here on Sportsmanlike, presented by Progressive Insurance. Heather, under the premise that they are taking the four best teams, I personally have a bigger issue with FSU not being six than I do with them not being four. Why would they be ranked ahead of Georgia?
Well, I think two things. One, because Georgia didn't win the SEC. But I agree with you. And in my prediction late Saturday night, I had Georgia at five and Florida State at number six. And of course, people freaked out. But the reason is because Florida State did win the ACC title. And if Georgia is not unequivocally one of the four best teams in the country, they lose tiebreakers, not having a conference title, and the head-to-head loss to Alabama also matters. So there were also conversations about Georgia's injuries in the room. I mean, everybody's so focused on Florida State's quarterback injuries, but Georgia was banged up as well, and that was also a part of the conversation, obviously, with Brock Bowers and Ladd McConkey not being at full strength in that game.
Heather, I saw a lot of people wondering maybe why Washington wasn't over Michigan when you put the schedule side by side and you look at the resumes. Is this another example of the committee using the eye test here?
Well, I think everyone has to remember that, yes, eye test is certainly part of the equation, and it was a big part of the committee's confidence in Michigan throughout the entire season, and that won over resume, because everyone knows until the last stretch of the season, Michigan's strength of schedule was one of the worst in the country. But Selection Committee Chair Boo Corrigan did talk about how convincing Michigan's wins were all season, except for obviously the close game and the win against Ohio State. But yes, Michigan's ability to dominate almost all of its opponents throughout the season was significant in having them at number one and Washington at two.
Heather, next year, the college football playoff expands from four teams to 12 teams. In your mind, from your perspective, will that eliminate all of the controversy that we're getting on conference championship weekend as a prelude to the final playoff rankings and standings? Or do you think that it's still going to be opened up to scrutiny based on a team presumably being left outside looking in when it comes to the 12-team format?
Wait, my friend, did I just hear you say you think that there might be a chance controversy could be eliminated in college football? No, I think it will certainly help. And part of what's great about the 12-team playoff is it will reward conference champions. Not only Power Five conference champions, but also one from a group of five. Because assuming the presidents and chancellors who control this whole system rubber stamp the proposed 5+7 model, which is the five highest ranked conference champions plus the next seven highest ranked teams, you're going to be in if you win your conference. So that part of the controversy will certainly be eliminated. But as you go down, and look, people were arguing last night over SMU and Liberty, down all the way down into the 20-25 range, right? People are hot about SMU Liberty. So we can take that and we can translate that to a 12-team playoff, and I promise you, there's always going to be controversy in college football.
Heather, I am somebody that absolutely believes they got it right. The only argument I would have is Georgia having an argument in there, maybe over Texas or Washington, as crazy as that may sound. Here's my argument if I'm an FSU fan today. I'm curious to know your thought. Is why did they have us number four last week? Why did they have us in that spot? We should have actually been lower last week. Did they change the way that they look at the rankings from week to week?
Well, they will tell you that they start with a clean slate, but I did ask Selection Committee Chair Boo Corrigan about that, and he was also asked about that on the teleconference yesterday, and his response to that was that they didn't have enough of a sample size of Tate Rodemaker, and they do have that part in their Selection Committee protocol that allows them on the final week of the season to project ahead based on the unavailability of key players that might impact a team's postseason performance. That's a window to project forward on the last weekend that they don't have on Thanksgiving weekend and rivalry weekend. So based to that point, they rewarded Florida State with that number four spot, but it's certainly a fair question and one he was asked afterwards. But basically, it looked forward at this point saying, we don't think Florida State is a top four team moving forward in the college football playoff without Jordan Travis.
Heather, which coach in the playoff is under the most pressure to win the national title?
Ooh, that's a good question. I don't think anybody's going to put more pressure on anyone than Jim Harbaugh is going to put on himself. I mean, all eyes are on him, all eyes are on Michigan, and he was suspended for half of the regular season. So there are a lot of people out there still wondering about Michigan, and he's been there before. We saw what happened last year in the semifinals with TCU. And so in order to take that next step, I think would be validation for not only Harbaugh, but for the entire program about what they've been trying to do to take it to the next level. Yes, we beat Ohio State. But when you see what happened in the semifinal last year, can they take it to the next step and actually win it under Harbaugh before he goes to the NFL? No, I'm just kidding. I don't know.
Final thing here with Heather Dinich, of course, ESPN senior college football writer, has done a phenomenal job covering all of the college football playoff circumstances over the last few months, actually, with all of this. Conspiracy theory has always led people down the, well, they don't want Harbaugh to win at all. Do you think they put Alabama four so their path is harder for Harbaugh?
No, absolutely not. And I say that 100% sincerely. I mean, I know how they operate in that room, and nobody in there is talking about, oh, well, if we put this team here, they're going to play this team, this matchup. The only way that comes into the conversation is what I said earlier. Do you think Florida State can beat some of these teams that we're talking about in the same group? There are former coaches in the room, former players in the room. There are strong voices and opinions in terms of, well, who do you want to play? Who do you not want to play? Those conversations are real, but nobody's sitting there saying, oh, I would like to see this particular matchup or how this might impact this coach or this storyline, and that truly does not happen, and I believe them when they say that.
Heather, awesome job as always. Great reporting and great conversation here. Thank you so much for the time. We do appreciate it.
Thanks, guys.
All right, there's Heather Dinich, who's all over the college football playoff rankings and the committee, and was there, obviously, when they were doing this yesterday and squashed, I guess, that conspiracy theory of they want Harbaugh out, so put Alabama in against them. All right, coming up, there's a Pro Football Hall of Famer who was outraged about his school being on the outside looking into the college football playoff. We'll get to that next on Sportsmanlike on ESPN Radio.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. We all carry around different stressors. I do, you do, we all do, big, small. And when we keep them bottled up, as I sometimes have had happen in the past, it can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/unsportsmanlike today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/unsportsmanlike.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
We are Unsportsmanlike here on ESPN Radio, ESPNU, the ESPN app, SiriusXM, Channel 80. You can join the show on the Dr. Pepper call-in line at 888-SAY-ESPN. That is 888-729-3776. Be a part of Unsportsmanlike Nation on the Dr. Pepper call-in line, ESPN Nation, presented by Dr. Pepper. It's not college football season without the delicious taste of an ice-cold Dr. Pepper, the ones fans deserve. As we know, college football playoff has been set. Michigan and Alabama in the 1-4 game. Washington and Texas in the 2-3 game. And if you're going to rank the order of games that you're probably most excited about, if I had to guess for the masses, it would be Michigan-Alabama 1, the title game 2, and Washington-Texas 3. Would you guys agree with that?
Yeah.
No.
No?
I'm actually more interested in Georgia-Florida State than I am Washington-Texas.
So of the three games, you pick a fourth game.
Yes, I would pick a fourth game.
Yeah, you pick a fourth game because amongst the three hypothetical games.
You guys, if Florida State somehow smashes Georgia, the debate is going to rage on in perpetuity.
Oh, no doubt, no doubt.
And I'm team us, you know what I'm saying? Washington-Texas is a good matchup. It's going to be a fun game to watch. I am rooting for us for controversy, for chaos.
I don't know, man. Seeing the Heisman winner and Michael Penix Jr. against Texas and wondering if Texas is quote-unquote back, that gets a little spicy to me. One of those being in the national championship game, oh, that'd be fun.
Aren't they already back, though, that they're in the playoff?
Are they? Well, are they? I don't know. Are they?
Let's talk about a team that's not in the playoff. I don't know that that's the intro he wants. Leroy Butler is a Pro Football Hall of Famer, Green Bay Packers, and, of course, FSU. And he joins us now on Unsportsmanlike here on ESPN Radio. Your thoughts on your school not in the college football playoff, Leroy?
Oh, you're talking about the certified fraud playoffs?
It sounds like I am, but okay, so let's go this route. If you want FSU in, which obviously we know you do, who should be out?
Right. Alabama.
The SEC champion should be out.
See, the reason why, because we have a narrative in every barbershop that the SEC is the toughest conference, and we can debate that. But why should Georgia, they should be, they were wire to wire, seemed like number one. And now you're going to force us as Florida State to leave the ACC because it's not a Power Five conference based on our third string freshman won the game with, and I know Kante going to agree with this, defense wins championships, I thought. So, and, or you could take out Texas. Because you can always say, just like you said, and most Americans going to say, take out the SEC champion? That wouldn't make any sense. Well, guess what? We have to leave the ACC to be relevant. That's why these schools leave, just because of this scenario.
So, LB, playing that out, do you think that pushes Florida State closer to leaving the ACC? Because we know there have been overtures in the past made by the athletic director toward the ACC that they would potentially leave and defect to the SEC or another conference. Do you think that this pushes Florida State closer in that direction?
Well, I'm good friends with everybody, athletic director and the president. So full disclosure, they've told me nothing. But we gone, cuz.
Ooh.
We out. We out. Cuz how can I look a recruit in the face and say, like in 2026 and 27, cuz Mike Norvell is a master in that portal. You know what? We may go undefeated and win it, but if our two-loss team, like Louisville, is not a great team, we're not going to be in this playoff. That's going to be gone away anyway, but what if they bring it back? You have to sell something to these kids that you're playing for that crystal football. So if you're going to always put one-loss SEC teams in that has a great game for 1 week and another team has a bad week, it's kind of a head-scratcher because you could have put Florida State and Georgia in there with Washington and Michigan. I think it would have been a good debate. I just don't like saying one-loss teams in nothing when you say championship. What if Alabama wins it all with one loss?
That'd be sickening.
Wow.
Leroy, what does it feel like to know that if Jordan Travis was healthy and the results were the same, your team would likely be in? That it's not about the results, it's about one player being injured.
Great question. Platinum. Here's why I hope his name wasn't implemented. Why would you put that on a kid that lived the rest of his life? He's going to be in the pros next year. So he's on crutches. He can't play. The hypothetical to say, well, I'm going to punish you because your first and second team quarterback is out, you're no longer relevant. If you're going to make that argument, just say the quarterback and let people 50 years from now, let them Google who the quarterback was. But to put his name in the headlines, it's kind of a head scratcher and it's kind of narcissistic to say, take the pressure off of the committee and put it all on Jordan Travis. It's just a shame because you would never know who would win these games if he had played. I would agree we would have probably played better, but the defense we have and the way they played all year, we'll play anybody anywhere. But shout out to Mike Norvell at FSU. We are back. Because, Chris, you know this. When we're out and about, we always bring up our schools.
Mm-hmm.
Before Mike Norvell got to Florida State, when they talk about schools, I just cover my face. Like, we'll be there later. We'll be there later. But now I go in there and stick my chest out. Yeah, we back.
Leroy, that you just actually nailed what I think the historical problem is actually with the ACC. The University of Miami, and I lived in Florida forever, and I did University of Miami postgame, so I just want to put some context when having this conversation. When the Miami joined the ACC in 2004, okay, it was supposed to be Miami and FSU running the ACC like we now have with Alabama, Georgia running the SEC. That never happened. And because that never happened, as you just said, FSU was going through many down years. The level of play in the ACC has been diminished to a point that winning the ACC at 13-0 is not as impressive as winning the SEC at 12-1.
Great point. You remember when Dabo was winning all these championships in Clemson? Mm-hmm. Well, they've come back to the pack. You remember Alabama was winning a lot. They came back to the pack for a while, but now they're starting to resurge. Every school goes through it. My school, it was a lot longer. And that's the thing about it. We don't just play basketball. Football brings in all the money. So if I'm a president and I get a call from the Big Ten, you got $240 million sitting there for me because I got to get an ACC $30 million to leave, I'm gone.
Wow. LB, we can't let you get out of here without asking you about your NFL team, the Green Bay Packers. They get to 6-6 with an impressive win last night in Lambeau against the Kansas City Chiefs. Right now, they're hanging on to the third wild card in the NFC with the easiest remaining strength of schedule of any team in the NFL. How you feeling about your Packers today?
Well, Chris, as you know, I got a bunch of babies on my team. We're the youngest team in the league. I don't tell them they got an easy schedule. I tell them this. You're going to be on national TV 3 weeks in a row. You beat Detroit. You beat the GOAT, the living GOAT, Mahomes, don't go out to the Giants and lay an egg. Mm. So the one game thing works with young teams. So, you know, Matt LaFleur is trying to keep them consistent. This is great. We got Simone Biles. They have Taylor Swift. I love her. But we broke that streak. We broke that streak. Because she had more security than me, guys. And my name is in the building, Chris. But we love her. But that young team, we're so excited. We're so excited. Thanks for having me all. This is very therapeutic because I've been yelling. And I'm a Christian young man. I don't get but three curse words a year. I use all three of them at the Florida State.
I don't blame you. Lori, and I love that you're a Swiftie. Didn't know that about you. But in addition to that, I want to ask you about Jordan Love. Do you feel like he's the Packers franchise quarterback moving forward?
Another great question. Because people say, what are the odds of them having Brett Favre, Aaron Rodgers, and he didn't even go to a Power Five school. He didn't put up gaudy numbers. They drafted him. He's been sitting there marinating, just sitting there waiting to get put in the oven. Now he's out of the oven. He's no longer an appetizer. He's an entree, okay? We love Jordan Love. And I think the most thing about it, the fan base had to get to know him a little bit. I remember when Brett took over from Don Majkowski, it was some booze. When Aaron Rodgers took over for Brett Favre, people were like, I don't know. But now, after going 2-5, like four of the last five games, you can't find a number 10 jersey anywhere. And it's the development of Matt LaFleur and him. And before I get out of here, thank you, Jets fans. I appreciate y'all.
We talked about it. We were running out of time,
but I gotta ask. Okay. Are the Green Bay Packers better off right now than they would have been with Aaron Rodgers?
Yes. Real quick. Here's why. It's a group. It's a band. It's not a solo act. It's a band. Everybody get paid the same here. And when the coach tell me to run 3-jet all go special, I'm going to run that because he puts in 19 hours a day. I don't. And then I don't know about Chris, but I used to put in 2 or 3 and go home.
Mm-hmm.
And I say, I used to drive by, whose light's still up? Oh, them the coaches. I love and respect my coaches. And that's why Jordan Love throw that first long pass to Detroit to number 9, Christian Watson. I hope he's healthy. Thank y'all so much for having me on.
Leroy, you're awesome. Thank you so much for the time. We do appreciate it. Hall of Famer Leroy Butler joining us here on Unsportsmanlike on ESPN Radio. Coming up, Smalls will make us smile with positive programming. I'm for it. Next.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's LECTRICEbikes.com.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
All right, let's do some positive programming, guys. Number 5, Kansas defeats number 4, UConn, 69-65 on Friday night in Allen Fieldhouse. Player of the game, KJ Adams. 18 points, two free throws with 2.4 seconds remaining to seal the win. But he was playing under very difficult circumstances, playing with a heavy heart, as his mother, Yvonne, had just passed away on November 17th. So he was able to channel his grief into an amazing performance to help his team seal the victory. Here's his head coach, Bill Self, talking about Adam's performance through this grief after the game.
Okay, so excuse me for being emotional, but things like this is what separates. Just think about this. When KJ goes through struggles in his life before, he can look back and say, he ain't gonna be nothing harder than that. That's what winners do. And he's a freaking winner. The dude is not the best free throw shooter in the country. But tonight, he put that dude online because he was shooting it because it was bigger than just a normal free throw. Oh, yeah. So I'm so proud of you guys.
I mean, that makes me get emotional. He was about to get on a plane to go to his mother's funeral, and Bill Self said it very beautifully. That's what winners do. You're able to play for something bigger than yourself in a moment that is truly, truly difficult.
It's always amazing when athletes take that type of tragedy that strikes in life and use it as a motivator for them to put together an all-time performance, and that's certainly what we saw from KJ over the weekend, but it reminds me of the instance with Brett Favre on Monday Night Football against the Oakland Raiders, where he throws for 400 yards in that game in a win. He threw for 300 yards in the first half of the game alone. I mean, it's incredible to see athletes show that type of fortitude that even though they're going through personal tragedy in their own lives, they can still show up and be there for their teammates, and they can also attribute that to, you know, they can use the performance as a tribute to their families, to their loved ones.
Absolutely. And I know I couldn't do that, so I definitely wanted to give a shout-out to KJ for being able to show that strength in that
moment.
Didn't
we see the same thing with that Washington player, the defensive player from Washington against USC this year?
I mean,
he put together an all-time performance. Yeah.
No doubt. All right, well, speaking of homage, let's talk about Jalen Milroe. So we've been talking a lot about Alabama being in the college football playoff today after their victory over Georgia in the SEC championship game. And after the win, quarterback Jalen Milroe spoke with our Marty Smith and gave an homage to another Jalen who went to Alabama. Here's what it looked and sounded like.
I want to know about your emotion right now. What is this emotion, Jalen?
When the world gave up on me, I didn't give up on myself. And that's the biggest thing. My family uplifted me. My support system uplifted me. I never gave up to what my goal was. And to be able to be here with my brothers, it means the world to me.
When the world gave up on you, how did you persevere from there to here?
Keep the main thing the main thing. And the biggest thing was I had a purpose. And I had goals for myself. No matter what, I still wanted to achieve them.
He said, keep the main thing the main thing. In other interviews, he said, I had a purpose before anybody had an opinion. Both things that we've seen Eagles quarterback Jalen Hurts say, who also went to Alabama. So I love that Jalen Milroe is using Jalen Hurts as a motivator and showing some love.
And Pat Riley. The main thing is Pat Riley's thing. But nonetheless.
But I'm sure he's not doing that for Pat Riley.
Well,
It has to be pointed out.
I just want to point that out. Here's the question. Would you take him in the first round right now?
Ooh.
Jalen Milroe?
Yeah.
I don't know. I think
he has improved so much.
No, he is, and he's going to test off the charts whenever he goes to the combine. I just think that thing needs to stay in the oven a little bit longer. Like, let's let that marinate in the success incubator for a little bit longer, maybe another season. Maybe we can have this conversation in 2025 where I think certainly he'll be a first-round draft pick, maybe even a top 10 pick. But right now in the first round, it feels a little bit rich. I think he still needs to be more polished as a passer.
Can I give you a hypothetical?
What's up?
He is draft eligible. The Detroit Lions at 28. The Seattle Seahawks at 16. Teams that have guys that can still play that you kind of keep him developing in your system. I'm just saying, my point in saying this, this man has improved so much. He's big. He's strong. He's a winner. Like, I'm very intrigued by his pro stock and status.
But listen, if he's going to be an end of the first round pick, he's probably going to make more in NIL money in Alabama next year.
Fair.
As opposed to being in the NFL.
Fair.
So unless you're going to be a top 10 pick at quarterback, probably go back to college and come out the following season.
I also, if wonder if a program's going to try and poach his offensive coordinator, Tommy Rees, and what that would look like for
to
his
be a
future.
Head coach? Yep. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's in Saban.
You ain't got to worry about having a good offensive coordinator with Nick Saban as your head coach. You're going to get a good offensive coordinator.
Do you know, because this is what I do in my free time, I just randomly search staffs. Do you know Ken Whisenhunt is on that staff, former NFL head coach?
There's he's like always
an,
one
he's
of those
like
guys.
An intern, I think, for them.
There's
it's
always one of those former
it's amazing.
NFL guys.
There.
I mean, Sark was there. I mean, like Kiffin was there. Like, who hasn't been on Nick Saban's staff? Billy O was there.
Me.
I mean, everybody's there on Nick Saban's staff.
I'll be the quarterback coach next year.
Best coaches money can buy.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting lectricebikes.com. That's LECTRIC ebikes.com.